I appreciate Brother Vince sharing some thoughts with us tonight from the scriptures and leading our minds in public prayer. I ask you to continue to pray for me and with me as I endeavor to preach to you tonight. There's a portion of scripture that I tried to preach on some this morning. By the way, we appreciate it down at Oak Grove, so many of you coming to be with us today for worship services there. The church there really appreciated the visitors. But tonight I'd like to go back to that portion of scripture that was on my mind in Proverbs chapter 30, beginning in verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. This is not Solomon. It's in the book of Proverbs, but these are the words of Agar mentioned. That is mentioned in verse 1 of chapter 30. The words of Agar, and he reaches into the realm of nature and uses four little creatures to teach us a lot of wisdom. And I'm thinking all of us need more wisdom. Would you all agree with that? I know I do. Anybody who thinks they don't need any more wisdom, I think you could write over their tombstone, F-O-O-L. We all need wisdom from above. And God, in the realm of nature, has taught us a lot of wisdom. And here the writer reaches into the realm of nature and uses four little creatures to teach us wisdom. The ant, the coney, the locust, and the spider. You know, I enjoy Mark Twain. I don't know if y'all have ever read much of his writings, but I always enjoyed Mark Twain's writings. He said one time that he had learned that man is the only creature that can blush, and he's the only creature that needs to blush, has a reason to blush. All the other creatures have nothing to be ashamed of. Mark Twain said, when I came into the world, I didn't have any teeth, didn't have any hair, didn't have any clothes, but I wasn't ashamed because I didn't know to be ashamed. But he said, I've learned to blush. Human beings have a lot of reasons to blush. But in nature, God has given us all of these other creatures that we don't spend much time thinking about unless you go to school to study insects. But let's notice tonight what Agar teaches us about the ants. The ants are a people not strong. Ants are tiny little creatures. You can step on a bunch of them at one time and kill them. And yet, these little creatures that Agar mentions to us tonight, if we'll think about them and study them as the Bible presents them, we'll be as impressed with them as we would an elephant. Now, most of us don't spend much time thinking about ants. But what is the Bible teaching us here about the wisdom of an ant? And notice the text says, but they are exceeding wise. These creatures are exceedingly wise. Now it's instinct. I understand they didn't go to school to learn all this, but God gave it to them in the creation, but they can teach us if we will pay attention to them. And the ant, though he's weak, he prepares his meat in the summer because he knows instinctively that winter is coming. And I want to tell you, all of us tonight, winter is coming for all of us. We just had a long prayer list tonight. Many of these people that you and I know, and many of them are going through a winter right now. And it may be you and me next. We don't know. We don't know what sickness or disease may be in our body. Sister Davison tonight told us about a friend of hers who went in for a shoulder break and they found a mass. They know it was there. None of us know those things. But I want to tell you, you can prepare for the winter that's coming in your life if you'll spend a lot of time in God's Word, studying it, memorizing it, listening to it being taught and preached. Hopefully you and I tonight will learn something that will help us in the summer of our life to prepare for the winter seasons. Everybody's going to go through the winter. And so the ant teaches us that. And also, you may face a winter as far as sickness is concerned. You may be greatly disappointed in your life about some relationship or some job you thought you had. You may be facing depression, whether it's financial or mental. And as Brother Vince was praying tonight, that God would protect us as a church from persecution. That's my prayer. But I tell you, it may come. There are people in high positions tonight in America that if they had the power, they would be persecuting us for doing what we're doing right now, and that's worshiping God. Many Christians in China are in prison tonight because of it. While I was living in Birmingham, I got acquainted with three Chinese. All three of them were products of that rule in China, one child only. Y'all have probably heard of that, when Chinese couples were not allowed to have but one child. I met three Chinese in Birmingham, used to come to our church faithfully. They were wonderful people. And I learned a lot about what Chinese Christians are going through today because of persecution. It could happen here. It certainly is happening in Russia, in China, in the Middle East, and in many other parts of the world. So, beloved, let's prepare ourselves for the winter season that may be coming. God has not promised us skies always blue. But I'll tell you what he has promised. Grace sufficient for every trial. And you and I want to learn to call on him and pray to him and stay in touch. As Brother Vince said in his prayer, get so close to him you can just reach out and touch him. How many of y'all want to be that close to God? Well, you may not feel the need of it tonight, but it may be coming our way. So the little ant, he prepares his summer, he prepares for winter in the summer. And there's a lot of hungry lions in winter when the little ant is cozy in his den, satisfied because he's been working and preparing all summer. And I tell you what an ant can teach you. He can teach you to be workers. You've never seen a lazy ant. They don't exist. They're always busy. They go to picnics, but they don't go to relax. They are there to get whatever they can for the winter. Ants are incredible little creatures. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Solomon said in Proverbs 6, consider her ways and be wise. And our government, I think, is making a big mistake when they're providing so much free money for people And it's creating them just to sit around and be lazy and not work. That's a huge mistake. Margaret Thatcher, the Prime Minister of England, once said that socialism works until the other man's money runs out. Well, I want to tell you, the ants aren't depending on socialism. They're not depending on the government handout. They're not depending on welfare. They're working. And you and I ought to learn from the ant to be busy, to work in summer when the winter is coming. Now, in other words, if you've got the brains of an ant, you're going to use the talents God has given you in life. If you're as smart as an ant, you're going to be busy. You're going to be working. So Augur says, there are four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Beloved, when the Pilgrim Fathers came to America from Europe, they brought with them a work ethic that was rooted in Scripture. They had a Christian work ethic. And that's what America desperately needs today. A Christian work ethic. The Bible says if a man won't work, we ought to just all get together and feed him. Is that what the Bible says? The Bible says if he won't work, don't let him eat. That'd get his attention. Now, if he can't work, we ought to all pitch in and help, right? Somebody's disabled, handicapped, I'd want to be first in line to contribute to them and help them out. When my dad fell and injured himself back in 1958, I believe it was, and then later had a stroke, he became disabled. And I remember a lot of soldier boys lining up in Dublin at the old Claxton Hospital to give blood freely for my dad. We couldn't afford it. And when Dad came home, I remember somebody anonymously gave him a beautiful recliner. We'd never had any furniture like that in our house. It was free. It was amazing. A recliner. I'd never seen one. Somebody just gave it to us free of charge, anonymously. That's the way you ought to give, isn't it? Not give to get all the credit. And then when the hospital bills and doctor bills started coming in, people everywhere just started giving. Because Dad was disabled. He couldn't help. And our family deeply appreciated that. But if a person can work, you and I ought to encourage them to work. But if there is a need, you know, when Jesus taught about the neighbor, the question was asked, who is my neighbor? And you know, Jesus answered that question by giving the parable about the man who left Jerusalem and went down to Jericho, and he fell in among thieves, and he was robbed and beaten and left half dead. And a priest comes by and sees him laying there. He's a priest. He's a religious man. He looks at him and walks around him and never helps him. A Levite comes along. Now, if the priest is the pastor, the Levite would be the assistant pastor. The Levite, he's busy. He's going to some business, some meeting somewhere, probably to worship God. He hadn't got time to help the fallen. Then there comes a Samaritan. A Samaritan. The Jews looked down on the Samaritan. The priest and the Levite wouldn't even speak to him. And yet the Samaritan gets off of his animal and ministers to the wounded man and helps him and pours oil into his wounds and puts him on his beast and carries him to an inn and pays the bill and says to the innkeeper, if there's anything owing, I'll pay it when I come back. Jesus just taught who our neighbor is. You know who your neighbor is? Anybody that comes into your circle that has a need and you're able to meet that need. That's your neighbor. It's not just the man living next to you. Now I want to tell you, most of us rejoice for the opportunity to help somebody in need. Don't y'all? I just get excited when I can help somebody that's in need. That's what the Bible teaches us. But the end teaches us, if you can work, you better be working. And if you don't, you ought to go lacking. That's the wisdom of the ant. That great Christian work ethic that helped build America into the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Y'all know there's never been a nation like America. And you know why it grew from a wilderness into the greatest nation on the face of the earth? Because of the Christian work ethic that was instilled into the very fabric of our Constitution. And I said today that our Congress would be wise if they just go out and spend a day studying the ants and write us some laws based on the ants. Instead of looking for ways just to keep giving money away and giving money away, I want to tell you, the ant could teach the Congress a lot. Would y'all agree with that tonight? They would benefit, wouldn't they, from studying the ant. They certainly could use the wisdom. Now let's notice the other creature. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks. And the coney, as best I could find out, is like a little chipmunk or a field mouse. They're feeble. They're tiny and feeble. And they can really be pests. I can tell you, if you got chipmunks around, we had them in Birmingham. But they, you know what? Here's the wisdom of a chipmunk. They make their houses in the rocks. They know they're feeble. They understand that instinctively. They're no match for the eagle who can swoop down and have them for dinner. They're no match for a wolf or a lion. They understand that. But you know what they do? They make their dwelling in the rocks. Their skin kind of favors rock. I mean, the color of their skin. They blend in with the rocks. And if they see an eagle coming, you know what they do? They go in the crevice of the rock. And the eagle would have to take down the mountain to get to them. You know what that's teaching us tonight? You know who our rock is? If you could go to a coney meeting, you could probably be familiar with one of the songs they'd sing. I bet you they'd want to sing Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Where are you hiding tonight? See, if a coney gets out there too far from the rocks, he's got no safety at all. He's got no protection. You and I need to stay as close to the Rock of Ages as we can get. Would y'all agree with that? And I hope tonight we're all just going to draw closer to the rock. Because we've got some enemies. The devil is as a roaring lion roaming about seeking whom he may devour. You know, that's what the Apostle Peter said about the devil. He says he is as a roaring lion walking about. If the devil would just stay in one place, I would avoid that place and I wouldn't have to worry about him. But the trouble is he's walking about. He's everywhere. He'll be where you're going to be at work in the morning, I guarantee you. He'll be at your house when you get back there tonight. He's here tonight. You know the devil goes to church. Y'all do know that, don't you? Oh yeah, he can get in the pulpit if you don't watch out. The devil walks about seeking to bless, no, to devour. And let me tell you, I could stand up here till the rooster crows in the morning telling you about people that I've known the last 55 years of pastoring that Satan has devoured. And he's after me and he's after you. And if you and I'll stay close to the Rock of Ages, we'll be safe. Because he can't get in there. You see, you get down in the crevices of that rock, the eagle can't do anything. The wolf can't. And the devil can't. He's no match for our rock. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Isn't that what David said in the Psalms? I bet y'all gonna select a good song tonight when this service is over. about the rock. You know, there's a lot of songs in our hymn book about the rock. Now, let's notice the third. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. What wisdom can the locusts teach us? It teaches us that there is strength and protection in unity. One locust or grasshopper by himself is no danger to anybody. But you get 10 million of them marching together. You know, in the late 19th century, a plague of locusts went through the Midwestern states. And I have read that in a week's time, that plague of locusts or grasshoppers did what in our day would be like $400 billion worth of damage. Did you know locusts can change the destiny of a nation? Those tiny little creatures. You know why they have such strength? They're unified. They march together. They don't have a king, but they're unified. And what is that teaching us? That's teaching me tonight, and I hope it's teaching you. You need your brothers and sisters in Christ. I need my church family. You know, when I was young, when I was just starting out, I had a dream. I don't know if it was of the Lord or not. It might have been something I ate. I don't know, but it stayed with me. And the dream was this. After I had joined Cool Springs Church as a teenager, I got in with the wrong crowd. And I was doing things that I shouldn't have done. And a sister in this church saw me. And the church found out about it. You talk about a sobering dream. Well, that could happen, you know, to all of us. Anybody here tonight think you're safe? That you can just face the enemy, face the devil, face the world, face the flesh on your own? No, we all need a church family. When Jesus was on this earth, he had a band of friends around him all the time. When he sent his disciples out, he sent them out two by two. We need accountability. There are things we might do when we're alone that we wouldn't do if brothers and sisters were with us. You and I need that kind. See, it's not good for us to dwell alone. We need a church family. How many of y'all recognize that? How many of y'all benefit from your church family? I heard about an old deacon one time that quit going to church. He was going to Sweet Home on Sunday. Y'all got that, didn't you? And finally, the pastor went by to visit him. It was in the old days, and the deacon was sitting by a fire. It was on a Sunday afternoon in the winter. And the pastor didn't say a thing, not a thing to the old deacon. Finally, he did say to him, he said, "You know, we're missing you at church." And the old deacon said, "Well, you know, I've been going all my life, and I know what the preacher's going to say before he says it. I know the book as well as he does. And I'm strong. I'm a strong Christian. I really just don't need church anymore." And the pastor didn't say another word. He just took the fire poke and he raked one of those red, hot, glowing coals out on the hearth and left it. Can anybody guess what happened to that red, hot coal? It wasn't but just a little while till it was dark, it was black, it was cold. You know what? That coal needed to be with the other coals in the fireplace. You know what the deacon said? He said, "I'll be there next Sunday." You and I need one another. There's strength in unity. Satan loves to divide and conquer. He comes as a thief to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He loves to be at church in your head right now, just looking around seeing who you can criticize. You say, "Brother Sam, surely nobody at church ever does that." I wish that were true. But I want to tell you, beloved, you and I, if we'll love one another and be united, the Bible, you know, David said how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Nothing hurts a church any worse than division, fussing, quarreling, one going this way and one going that way. No, the locusts, they move together as a band, unified. And we as God's children need to do that. And Paul needed his brothers and sisters. You know, in the last, the last chapter of the book of Romans, Paul names 17 people by name that he salutes, that have been a blessing to him, an incredible blessing in his life. When he was in prison in Rome and waiting for his execution, he writes a letter to Timothy, and he said, Luke is the only one with me. Luke was a medical doctor, and I suspect the battle-scarred body of that aged apostle needed the constant care of a medical doctor. But that aging man, whose hair no doubt had turned white through the years and his face furrowed through all the suffering he had been through, writes to the young brother Timothy and says, come to see me before winter. Y'all remember that? And he said, bring Titus. He needed Titus, he needed Timothy, he needed Luke. How many of y'all tonight recognize how much you need your church family? Let's stay close to one another. Would y'all agree? And not let the devil get in and start dividing and causing divisions and sitting around. You know what? I believe the easiest job in the world is to criticize people. I'm good at it. Now, I don't practice it, honestly. I don't. But if I wanted to, I could be good at it. I could go home with any of y'all, stay with you a week, and I guarantee you I could find some stuff to criticize. Y'all want me to go home with you? No. Y'all could come to our house, stay a week. You'd find plenty that you could criticize. But you know what? The Bible teaches us to cast a mantle of charity over one another and overlook one another for good and not for evil. Am I getting, you know, I said today, are y'all listening? And Brother Ronnie asked me, he said, did you catch somebody sleeping? Well, one of the hazards of preaching is, as Brother Wynn can tell you, and Brother Franklin, one of the hazards of preaching is people going to sleep on you. It will happen. And Brother Vince said I needed what did you call it? A gavel. You know, just to hit, like the judge does, you know, get everybody's attention. I want y'all to stay with me. I want y'all to get the point. Now, beloved, in the house of God, we want to learn. We want to gain in wisdom. And if you got the intelligence of a locust, you know you need one another. I appreciate some of the smiles I'm getting. You know, we don't need any Lone Rangers. And even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. We need one another. I need the church. I want to tell you, the church has been a blessing for me for 55 plus years. I've been blessed to travel in I don't know how many states, overseas a lot, and the devil has been after me all those years. And I want to tell you, the church and my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to Statesboro tomorrow for that funeral, and today I've been thinking about going to Statesboro, and so many memories flooded my soul. And so I was thinking about the church there and the years that I pastored them for 16 years. And there was a brother and sister in that church that I loved more than life itself. If the human heart could have the names of people carved in it, their names would be on my heart tonight. They just loved, they were older people. They were like my parents. You know, I was a kid when I went down there. They just took me in and loved me. I tell you, I thought so much of Sister Grace, I named Amanda after her. They helped me. They were there for me in some very difficult times. They were there for me. Y'all, pastors need y'all. You do know that, don't you? How many of y'all know that? That your pastor needs you? The deacons need you? The little children here tonight? I want every one of them to know they're loved. I want them to feel safe. Do y'all want the children to feel safe in the house of God? Take up time with them. Recognize them. Speak to them. Give them a piece of chewing gum. Let them know that they are loved. Let's go together as a band and not let the devil get in here and tear up things. Now I want to close tonight with the fourth. Aren't y'all glad there's not 10 of them? We'd be here till midnight. Let's notice the last one. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. What is the wisdom of a spider? Now, a spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. You know, I've been to the Biltmore Mansion. I don't know if y'all ever been up there, but that's an incredible building. It's just amazing. Can you imagine a spider getting into the Biltmore Mansion? Well, they're there, I can guarantee you. Have you ever had a spider in your house? I don't like spiders myself. Nelda went with her grandkids the other day to see the spider man. She didn't get it. I mean, she didn't enjoy it. The kids did, but spiders are incredible creatures. They can get into a king's palace. Now that's inappropriate for a spider to be in a king's palace. You know what I think the spider could teach us? If we'll do diligence, do what God has called on us to do, He will put us in places that ordinarily we would never end up in. Do you know the kingdom of God is upside down as far as the world is concerned? You want to be great in the kingdom of God? Become a little child. You want to be a leader? Be a servant. You want to live? Die to self. And you'll end up like a little spider in a king's palace. Yes, sir, if you and I have got the brains, the wisdom of an ant and a field mouse and a locust and a spider, we'll enjoy our lives on this earth a lot more. You and I need wisdom. And God's word tells us that the little creatures out here that ordinarily we wouldn't want anything to do with can teach us so much. Thank you for your good attention.